720 WGN. It is Memorial Day here. And the Indy 500, you think about it, especially in Indiana, you know, the month of May, the calendar flips, and it's all about May. Is it May yet? Well, it is. It's still May. It is still May, and there's so much leading up to it, and the entire week leading up to it, and then the Indy 500, it was just huge. Like I said, I didn't get back till about 2, and you think it's over. Some people think it's over. It's not over. There's still more happening, and a guy with his hand on the pulse of a ton of it, including the gala and awards that have to happen. Of course, we saw Alex Palou with the milk and the wreath, and you're like, well, what other awards do you need? Well, apparently you need a lot of them, and the guy that's behind a lot of it is Phil Ray down there at the JW Marriott. Phil, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. It's great to talk to you again.
No, it's great to have you on. Very busy. I don't know. You need to get, do you get sort of combat pay, or do you get some sort of like extra hazard pay? Because, and for the listeners that may not be aware of this, so the JW Marriott, if you see some pictures, that's the one, the very tall hotel with the giant decal on it that says, you know, is it May or Indy or any of that stuff. And you are really the headquarters for so many of the race teams. There's just a ton happening there.
Yeah, there really is. And Dane, we get to rest in June, so we got a few more days and a few more things to do. But it's been a great, great month here in Indianapolis. And you know, like you say, it starts from the mini marathon and the Rev event that happens the first weekend of May, all the way through Carb Day, and then the parade, and of course the race. And then tonight, of course, we get the Victory Banquet, which we get to hold every year. If you're most of the fans have departed town, we get to celebrate and watch them tonight be able to all receive their checks for their efforts this month. So it's a fantastic night here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, for all those drivers that may be disappointed that they, you know, aren't there kissing the bricks and they're not there in Victory Lane. But then you make them feel a little bit better because they get a pretty sizable check just for participating, which is pretty great.
Yeah, you know, and it's really fun because you get all the drivers are all here and they, you know, they all know each other and are around each other all month. It's kind of the last chance for them to kind of celebrate together and celebrate the winners, but also just to look back at the full month of May and what a great journey has been, you know.
So when I mentioned that it is sort of the epicenter for a lot of the activity and certainly hospitality around the Indy 500 and a lot of events, you know, that are happening. Right now you guys are in the middle of the NBA playoffs, a ton happening there, plus all of those trade shows and conventions, and you had the Big Ten tournament, and I think you had March Madness. I mean, there's so much that happens in Indianapolis that is, you know, extends beyond, let's say, the Indy 500. I know because I've spent a good amount of time there with you at that hotel. Chip Ganassi, sure, is a guy that is typically there. You know, that team is usually there. So was Alex, was he there with his wreath hanging out in the lobby, high-fiving your other guests as they came in?
You know, I did not see him, but it's not uncommon that we see a lot of drivers coming through. And, you know, Roger Penske's here, Chip's here. We've got a lot of the race teams and the IMS teams here throughout the whole month of May. So it's great. And they actually move in for most of the month. They're here to be able to just make it easier because there's so many activities going on. And so, yeah, we feel very fortunate to be able to take advantage of our great hotel. It's in the center of everything. And they get to come enjoy the month with us, which is pretty pretty lucky.
So they're there for a month, and of course a lot of hospitality and a higher level hospitality. What are some of the oddest requests? You don't have to assign the odd request to an individual, but what are some of those things where, you know, people, you want to be responsive, right? You want to be always saying yes. Like, what are some things that maybe a driver or a team or maybe some other celebrity has asked for?
Well, it was interesting. For the banquet night, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I won't name the driver, but he was a rookie driver, young driver, still driving, and he came to the red carpet, and he's all dressed up, and he realized he forgot his shoes. He did not have his dress shoes, so we were able to kind of scramble and find some shoes down of our housekeeping lost and found to be able to take care of them. So that was probably one of the more unique situations. It all went well, so but it was great. That was one. But there's always little pop-up things, and it's not uncommon that we've had drivers that will show up actually in the lobby on a night signing and talking to sponsors, and they're very, very approachable, which most people don't realize, that they're very active around the entire downtown Indianapolis that whole weekend and really the whole month of May.
And Phil, the listeners would know, Phil will definitely do that. He will sacrifice himself. I'm sure the rest of that night when the shoes were needed that you were walking around in the official JW slippers that come, you know, with the robe.
I cannot confirm or deny they were my shoes, but yes, we got them taken care of.
If you want to get down there, not only this, you know, great restaurants and all that, plus the hospitality and just, it's been updated and it's just a great place. Give information like where people can go to either see more about the JW Marriott Indianapolis or maybe come down and stay with you in an off Indy 500 weekend.
Sure, you know, jwindy.com, or you can just go on to Marriott Bonvoy, the app that's out there, to be able to find our hotel and be able to book reservations. And, you know, we are there's so many great events that go on through the months, but we have a lot of time to come, whether you're here for a special event or if you're here to enjoy the city. But we've got baseball, we've got concerts, we've got all kinds of things. And there's still great opportunities in the weekends to come and stay where it's not as crazy as the Indy 500 weekend. So, yeah, we'd love to have people come down and see the property.
Yeah, the best in the business, and congratulations, Phil, on another successful execution of really what was the biggest, most crowded spectacle in racing, a super sellout, and of course, a lot of those people, at least the lucky ones, were staying with you at the JW Marriott. So thanks, Phil. We'll let you get back to it. Hopefully you don't have to give up your shoes tonight, and thanks for jumping on the show.
You have a wonderful night. Thanks so much.
All right, you bet. We are going to take a break. When we get back, there's a ton of things happening this summer. Great opportunities, great events to go ahead and not only have fun, learn things, meet some interesting people, maybe a superstar. Who knows? And Bo Kemp's going to talk about the Achieve Summit coming up when we come back. Quick break, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. And excited to have on the line a guy behind so much impact in the area and the driving force of Achieve Summit coming up. He's the CEO of the Southland Development Authority, the one and only Bo Kemp. Bo, welcome to WGN.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, Dane. Excited to be here.
There's a lot of people excited about and looking forward to Achieve Summit coming up. Some amazing speakers, lots of information, inspiration for folks. Share with the listeners, Bo, for that, you know, they may not be aware what's happening and just how this whole thing started.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Southland Development Authority, we are a regional economic development group that works with all of the South suburban cities, towns, and villages, helping drive economic development for the South suburbs, but the entire Chicago region. And as part of that effort, we have launched something called the Achieve Summit, which is going to take place June 27th to 29th. It's in Tinley Park, Illinois. We're expecting to have hundreds of people there. And we've got a great lineup of speakers. And before I get into the speakers, let me just tell you a little bit about what was the inspiration behind this. So as part of our charge as the Southland Development Authority, we try to work with both startups as well as existing and very large businesses that are in the South Suburbs. We work with real estate developers, whether they be small folks that are buying and flipping houses, to large developers who are buying hundreds of acres of land for tracks. And we're trying to make sure that we create an ecosystem that promotes economic development and investment in the area and helps people who want to become either folks that are buying and selling real estate or folks that are buying and selling individual businesses. You know, most people, when you ask them what they'd like to do financially, say that they want to be rich. But what most people really mean is they want financial security. And in the face of the kind of uncertainty that's happening right now, we think this is a prime time for people to invest in themselves. And the point of the Achieve Summit is to bring a bunch of the top folks together that can teach you how to buy and sell a business, either as your primary job or as a secondary source of revenue, or buy and sell real estate, either as your primary source of revenue, your primary place to live, or as a secondary investment property. And that's the intention and the point behind the Achieve Summit.
Now, so your background as the CEO of the Southland Development Authority obviously gives you a unique perspective on what's needed in the area. But I've got to think that a lot of these, whether it's the challenges or maybe some of these opportunities, are universal, right? So even though, you know, that's sort of the base, and of course, that's the home base for it, going to draw some attention, some positive, I think, activity in the area, bring people to it. And certainly for those surrounding WGN, a lot of people are hearing this. I think a lot of the skills, the lessons, and certainly the entertainment is universal.
It's absolutely universal. And we actually expect to draw people from the entire region, not just the Southland, nor just the Chicagoland region, but frankly, from the entire Midwest region And we actually have speakers that are coming not only from all around the country, but all around the world. In fact, one of our key speakers is a gentleman by the name of Seth Ferguson. He runs one of the largest business conferences in all of Canada that focuses on building multifamily or apartments Canada and around the country. He's one of our key speakers to talk to people about buying multifamily properties where you can have two or three units or as many as 50 units. We've got folks that are coming from as far away as the West Coast, people that are coming from the East Coast. So one of our other key speakers is Damon John, who's actually just finishing the filming for Shark Tank right now. Wow. Damon is also the co-founder of FUBU. ABC Shark Tank is actually one of the areas that many people as new businesses are aware of. He's going to be one of our keynote speakers who will be coming here from the East Coast. We've also got Nelly Galan, who is a former person who ran Telemundo, but she's actually become a real estate investor. She's written a whole book around Don't Buy Shoes, Ladies, Buy Buildings. And she's going to be talking about her transition into the world of kind of a real estate mogul. And there are a number of folks, people who are in the venture world, who are helping people find venture capital to start and launch their business, and other folks who are in what we'll call the scaling world, a guy like Walker Dybul, who is actually telling people, buy your business, then build your business. So all of the conference is centered around bringing that expertise from around the country and around the world into our region to help people understand how they can actually move into a place where they find that financial security.
Bo, I think you're creating sort of like a mini ecosystem. It's one thing to have that information coming from the stage to the crowd, valuable there, but sort of this eclectic blend of people with different viewpoints and expertise all being together, even the guys and girls that are there just to watch and experience the event. I mean, there could be a lot of conversations happening there too.
Yeah, our intent is, in fact, to create an ecosystem, just like you said, and to bring people together of like interest, right? There'll be different levels. Some of the people that'll be there will be new into the world of considering investing in a business or investing in real estate. Some of them will be well-seasoned veterans who've been doing that. Our intent is to bring those people who are interested, the people who facilitate those types of transactions, the accountants, the lawyers, the professionals that can actually help you buy a business. But one of the advantages that we have is that because we are a not-for-profit organization that does regional economic development, we are already aware of businesses that are interested in investors or to be sold, and we own property that we can sell directly to you. So people who come to this conference will not only be inspired by the success stories of Damon John and others that I've mentioned, they'll get a chance to have hands-on workshops where they learn how they too can go and buy a business or buy real estate. And we are planning a showcase where people will actually be able to come to that conference and buy potentially a business or buy a piece of property at the conference itself. Wow. So that ecosystem component that you described is a really important element.
So many of these types of events, you know, you have a speaker, a knowledgeable person, people go, they learn stuff, then they head back home and then try to put it to use. To have, of course, that is going to be available to them, but to have things happen on site, have it be interactive in that productive and significant way, I think is really exciting. You kind of glossed over Damon John, right? So this is the kind of, all the listeners will have heard from him. Shark Tank is just a global phenomenon of a television show, and he is unique in the way that not only is he an incredible success as a businessman, but also I think as an, not only as an educator, right, but a communicator. So talk about that, Bo, because absolutely, I think that's the kind of thing. This information is great. A lot of people are going to benefit and be interested in it, but you know, there's some star power involved. How'd you get him in?
Well, you know, I actually have both been an investor in real estate and businesses, having worked in both private equity and venture, as well as having been an operator where I've raised money and run a number of organizations. And I actually first met Damon John back in 1998 when I was in the media business in New York at the time. Wow. And we were looking at potentially launching an internet business. And that was my first interaction with him. At that time, FUBU was still one of the very early successful kind of urban couture businesses, but it was growing and it was trying to figure out how to leverage the internet for its next stage of growth. I maintained some of the relationships with Damon and others and actually reached out to him because what Damon really reflects is a couple of things. So Shark Tank as a phenomenon has really helped people understand how do I take my idea and put that idea into action? How do I move from just a concept to a place where I am developing that business that can generate revenue? And then how do I position and tell the story of my business to someone who might invest in me? And it's really important for us to take people to a place from insecurity to financial security, to help them go from concept to action and actually figure out how to tell their story. And in most cases, much as you see on ABC Shark Tank, it's the story of them personally and the story of their business and the combination of those two things that actually induces the sharks to make that investment. Mm-hmm. And who better than someone like Damon John to actually help tell people his personal story about how he launched Fubu, the story that he's developed now in helping so many other people that are interested in driving their own personal growth and their own personal wealth through businesses and the investments he's made at Shark Tank, and to use that as a platform. Now, he also, as you mentioned, is both a communicator and an educator. And the conference is really important, and his ability to communicate is really important to help people go through the fear that most people have of just getting started. Mm-hmm. Right? The fear that most people have about what does it take and are they the right person to actually launch this business and take it to the next level. But Damon is one of the people that will be speaking that I think can actually cut through that fog and give people some confidence. And there'll be a chance for folks to follow up with him. For those who actually buy a VIP ticket, we have a meet and greet. Wow. So you get a chance to spend time with him after his speech, one-on-one and part of a group, where you can talk to him, as well as the other speakers that we have.
A lot of teachable moments that are going to be happening at the summit. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all of that. Bo Kemp, you are doing the people's work, and we appreciate it. Like I said, we'll have links up social media-wise and the website.
The website is AchieveSummit, one word, 2025.com. AchieveSummit2025.com.
Bo Kemp, the man, the driving force behind a lot of it. So much to see, so many great personalities to see, learn from, a lot of things to do. And of course, we'll have more information up at WGN Radio as well. Bo, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Dane, and take care, everybody.
One of the biggest personalities of the entire weekend is going to be joining us after this break. We're going to Jim Cornelius, and you know him, you love him, you respect him, you sing along with him as he is, of course, the national anthem superstar for the Blackhawks. But then he also does, I think, for the better part of a decade, he has taken over and just run with it, and is just the perfect fit for back home in Indiana for the Indy 500. So much pageantry, the action on the track happens, every bit of that, and now we've got the Wiener 500. You know, we've got that big race that happens within the race, but then you have the band, the flyover, all that. And part of really what is the biggest and best, you know, pre-game buildup and festivity in all of sports is back home again in Indiana. And the guy who sings it, just embodies it, is Jim Corneliusson. So during the break, we're going to go ahead, go get yourself a snack, or maybe turn the burgers on the grill, and then come back. And then we're going to have Jim with us as we continue. It's staying here, 720 WGN. We are here high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and a guy who is back here and is just such a big part of the noise that you just heard in the lead-in music, but has now he's got to put the other thing out of his mind. But I think he's still basking in the glow of really what is one of the greatest experiences in all of sports, at the greatest spectacle in racing, at the biggest one-day sporting event in the world. And he is really, when it comes up to that big lead up to it, just the just all that anticipation. And there's nothing bigger than back home again at Indiana. And the guy who is not the big part of it, he is the part of it. The voice of it all is the one and only Jim Corneliusson. Jim, welcome to WGN.
Hey, it's great to be here and talk to you, Dane. I noticed you played that theme song for the Indianapolis 500 to start this interview.
Iridian, our producer, did it. She's trying to be timely, and she certainly is, right? She knows that once you cross that border, the state line, you know, it's like Superman Clark Kent, you become Blackhawk guy. You know, when you go there, or I guess anywhere else.
Again in Illinois.
Hey, you just made me think. I don't know who owns the rights to that song, but I feel like this is a little bit of a think tank here, and we're on to something, right? I think we could
get in trouble.
Yeah, we don't want it. And that's something we don't want, especially since it's just, you know, the three of us kind of here talking about it. So how is it, you know, there is just so much, yeah, I want to say it's pressure. It's not the kind of thing that you don't do. You do it all the time. You're a professional at it. And so this is what you do. And but I've got to feel there are all, I mean, this isn't even like it's just, you know, a concert or a show or whatever. The entire world is watching, millions and millions of people, and you are such a focal point. Do you just, you probably just block it out because really it just comes down to singing great, which is easy for you. Like, how do you handle all of that pressure?
Yeah, you know what? Today we can talk about it. Yesterday, no. So it's funny because as I came into the track with my guests, yesterday, one of them was saying, like, Jim, you're always so laid back about this. You just come in, you do it, you talk about it, you don't get excited about it, you don't talk about it like it's a big deal, you just talk about it like it's just everyday this and that. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, Ann, that's because I can't afford to think about how big it is or all the exposure or what it could mean, you know, for my life, right? Having this opportunity, same with the Blackhawks, having that opportunity. So you really got to come in and reduce the size of your world and just do your job. So I focus on mechanics of singing, and I focus on sort of the message and the attitude that I want to convey so that I can connect with the crowd and deliver something to them that's the most focused and relatable performance that I can. So if you get wrapped up in that stuff, I think it's like, you know, it's game seven. You're down by 1 point. You get two free throws. You can't look at the people waving their arms around right behind the backboard, can you, right? You got to be totally in your mechanics, totally focused on this very small world and job that you have to do. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at when I walk into a situation, whether it's a really intense Blackhawk game or Bears game or the Indianapolis 500.
Well, I think, and it is a very unique situation, a unique event. The 500 is its own sort of animal, and it has to be absolute. And you want it to be great. You want it to be great in that instance, and it isn't the kind of thing with the Blackhawks, and, you know, so iconic. And obviously, it's a big part of everyone's evening that happens, you know, with the Blackhawks. You're a big part of that. People always want to get there early. They don't want to miss the beginning and the anthem.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And the way that the Blackhawks are playing, they'd be the first to admit this, is they're lucky they have you. You're maybe the best part of the entire night, at least from a success standpoint. But you know this, Jim, because, you know, there's another, you know, 40 of them. If it's like, oh, I could have done this a little bit better, maybe tomorrow I'll do it better again. Whereas the Indianapolis 500, for those people that are going to be there, it is a once a year event. For a lot of people, it's a once in a lifetime bucket list situation.
Yeah,
and right. And here the thing is, what you have done is you have set that bar of expectation so high that people know and talk about it that you have to live up to yourself. Right. So it's not even just pressure of the event in the moment. It's like, well, you know, I've kind of set some expectations.
Well, yeah, it's funny because just yesterday, as I was waiting to go up on the podium, that thought crossed my mind because I felt like the vocalists yesterday were really great. You know, yeah, it's very different styles, but for America the Beautiful, the anthem, I loved the Mexican tenor who sang God Bless America shortly before I did. You know, that guy was getting on a plane to fly back to Italy right after that because he's starring in Rigoletto in Italy. And it's just a world-class tenor, right? And so then I get up after that, and I got to sing. And it's like, all right, I get competitive, which could be a distraction of its own. But I just thought people are expecting me to be really good. They're expecting me to be impressive. Will I be impressive having followed these other three singers? And that stuff will go through my head. And I tell you, it's not a positive time for that to go through your head when you're 2 minutes away from walking up on that stage. But it reminds me, like, Franco Corelli used to throw up before he'd go out on the opera stage, and he was one of the great tenors of the 20th century, you know, because he just felt the pressure of, he felt the pressure of what everybody expected from him. And I didn't throw up, but I did feel I did feel some anxiety, and I had to get my head in the game, as they say.
Isn't that the craziest thing, is that with all of this, and I think the public, as they hear it, if they think about it, they can definitely probably relate in some way, but just the magnitude of it and the fact that you just have to sort of block out what it is. We think of the Blackhawks in the situation here. You know, we're obviously, you know, self-centered and self-absorbed, and we know that this is the biggest thing, but this event is a global event. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jim Cornelius. We're going to talk to him about just the reach of this. Obviously, you have to shrink your world, as he said, and just do it is that you do, but it is the world's event, right? It happens in Indiana, but it is the world. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Keep it here, 720 WGN. We are back, 720 WGN, continuing our conversation with Jim Cornelius. And you know him as the voice of the Blackhawks, that legendary rendition of the national anthem that happens before every one of those games. And of course, whether it's the Bears or NASCAR events or other things, if the anthem is happening, then the anthem singer is doing it. But to be part of, not even part of, but be the voice of really the most anticipated pre-race, pre-event celebration in the world, which is the Indianapolis 500, and back home again in Indiana. So, Jim, welcome back. And at what point, so when you're done with it and you've held the note, because, and for the listeners that may not be aware of this, there is a lot going on. I got a chance to say hi to you. You were practicing the day before, and they were talking a little bit about, okay, because you've got to time it up, not only with the band, not only with everything that's going on, the song, but also a jet flyover, right, which can be somewhat unpredictable. And, you know, you have to factor all of that stuff in.
Yeah, that's right. When we did the rehearsal, there was a point where somebody asked the band director to stretch out the song, right? Stretch it. They make this gesture with their hands, like they're pulling taffy between their hands, you know? And so he kind of slowed it down. And when we got to the final note, which I kind of set up in a very dramatic way and then deliver it high, loud, and very long, right? The jets came right as I started that note, and it was like, doggone it. You know, I just felt like if they come that early, they're really going to step on the note. I won't have a chance to sing it. And so I had a conversation with the ground crew from the deal, and I said, look, I hold that note, like, I don't know where it is, 12, 13, 14 seconds, something like that. I'm not sure. But I said, it's a pretty big window where you can come in. So if you could just delay like 3 seconds, you know, let me have a few beats of a note and then come in. And so they were really cool about it, and they did. I thought they came in perfect. They were probably in on the last 4 or 5 seconds of the note instead of on the kind of the whole thing, you know. And by the way, it's really hard. You can't put brakes on an airplane. You've got to anticipate where you're going to be at exactly what time within like a couple of seconds to make a flyby really hit. And the military guys are almost always right on, whereas I've done it with civilian guys, and like I think one time it really worked out, but other times not so much. So they're flying around. Like, you get there early and they're flying back and forth over and over again while you're doing the anthem, or you're sitting there waiting for them to show up, you know, and 5 minutes later they'll show up. It's pretty fun. but man, I'll tell you, on Sunday, that was fantastic. I just thought the whole pre-race ceremony just went off exceptionally well. And again, all the singers were well. They had to fly by after the anthem, after my song, and then those awesome Blackhawk helicopters coming down the straightaway. Just a few beats later, that was awesome.
It is just an amazing thing for those people that are contemplating. And obviously, you know, we broadcast the race here. We broadcast, you know, the pre-race stuff here. It is AWGN's situation, just sort of our legacy is the original radio voice of the Indy 500. So way back when, before any of probably some of these things were taking place, they have built more and more on it. And there are so many moving parts to it. And you are obviously a big part of that. But just think about, see, here's another thing you have to kind of block out is the fact that this is really the world's event. You know, there are 11 countries represented on the driver's side. Yeah. So many people from around the world coming here to win this race, to grab a piece of, at least in their career as a driver, is a piece of immortality. If they win this, it is, you know, for the rest of their life, this, you know, is going to be the thing that defines them. And it's one thing to be the Blackhawks. Before we went to the break, we were talking about, you know, how we know that this is important. I know when other teams come in here, they get blown away by what it is that we do, that you do. But so, Jim, as you travel, you know, with that opera background, and maybe if you travel around the world or people come up from maybe other places and they're familiar, have you had situations like that where someone from some like far flung place on Earth was familiar and knew you from the 500?
You know, there's been quite a few times, actually. Like, my sister was whale watching in Hawaii. They went out there from Washington State, and they're on the boat with some people from Vancouver. And they get to talking and just whatever. And at some point, they mentioned something about hockey, or she mentioned something about I sing. I don't know if she just thought they're Canadian. They must love hockey. I don't know how the conversation happened.
Right.
But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, you're his brother? And there they are, you know, in Hawaii. I one time it blew me away. I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. I was down at Pike Place Market in Seattle. And, you know, I grew up in Washington State, and I go every year. And I was ordering, like, a quart of clam chowder from this guy just kind of across the counter. I mean, dang, I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt in Pike Place Market, which is a zoo. Just crazy busy, right? Loud and everything else. And that guy's giving me my clam chowder. He's staring at me. He goes, hey, are you that guy who sings the national anthem with the Chicago Blackhawks? I said, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. The guy was a big Canucks fan. And for better or worse, you know, because I think the Canucks are kind of maybe one of the teams that I don't like the most. But at any rate, I was just shocked. You know, it was shortly after those battles we had during the Stanley Cup runs with those guys. And he recognized me standing in shorts and T-shirt in the middle of Pike Place Market. I couldn't believe it. I've had people reach out to me on social media and through my website from Canada, of course, England, Italy, France, Australia, Bangladesh, believe it or not. It's pretty crazy. People really love what we do with the anthem at the Blackhawk Games. They really do. They really relate with it in a powerful way. And many of them are not even Americans. They're just hockey fans, and they think that this is an awesome tradition. Think about the New Zealand All Blacks, right? You don't have to be a New Zealand All Blacks fan to think that haka is just awesome that they do at the beginning of a rugby game, right?
Yeah. Well, think about this, Jim. So here's the thing is, even if you have shorts and a T-shirt on, you are still Jim Corneliuson. And for those people that may not know, you know, they hear it, right? Or maybe, like, you're an imposing figure. You're still you. You still look like you. It isn't like you're just nondescript and, you know, you're just an average person. You're kind of a bigger-than-life personality in a bunch of different ways. And you think about the singing side of it. Talk about... I mean, have you come to terms with it? It's been about 10 years now. And when you first get in the world of entertainment is kind of it's a rocky road sometimes. And even though you become such a big part of it, you just, you know, they never try to, you know, you never know exactly like where your sort of place in history is. But as the drivers change, as the winners change, the consistency and that history of that place and that song and back home in Indiana, have you started to sort of, I mean, I know you feel it. I'm sure people tell you all the time the same stuff that we're telling you here, but do you feel like you're just a locked in part of really what is that day, that biggest day for people?
Well, you know, Doug Bowles has told me now, you know, hey, you're stuck with us as long as you want us, you know? Yeah. And it's like, well, I kind of want to keep doing this, so that's great news. You know, looking at how long Jim Nabors did it, I don't think I'll ever get to 32 years. But people love that guy, right? And then Shirley Jones, I think it was, did it. And Mel Torme. And I mean, there's some people who've done this back home again in Indiana for the race over the years that to kind of be in the mix with those historically significant celebrities, and much loved celebrities, by the way, is, I don't know, an amazing thing to just kind of wrap my head around, and I feel really appreciative of it. This was my ninth year, Dane.
Yep.
I can't believe it. It's just flown by. Next year's a decade.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing, amazing experience.
We'll wrap your head around it from now until you have to start blocking it out again, right? And I don't know when the blocking out comes and happens. And as we let you go to enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day and your weekend, where can people go? Is there like social media wise or a website you'd direct them to?
You know, as far as if they wanted to reach out to me in any way, my website's the best way, which is just jimcornelison.com. And I'd also like just to give a shout out to all the Blackhawk fans that are down there in Indianapolis. There are so many. We have the Indy Fuel down there, which is an affiliate of the Blackhawks. But, you know, riding through the parade on the back of that convertible, I get so many people who are just like, go Hawks. Hey, Jim, and I turn around and they're doing the hand gesture like when I point to the flag during the anthem. So it's really great. They'll come up to me at the race and I say, hey, show me the ring. I'm a Blackhawk fan, been 2 years, you know, and it's just really great. Plus, I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the Blackhawks, right? And the track wouldn't have found me. They wouldn't have thought to come to me except for the success that I've had being a part of the Blackhawks and all of that press and media and everything else that occurred around all those Stanley Cup victories. I just want to say, you know, thanks to that. And, the race truly is absolutely unbelievable. How many tickets were sold this year, Dane?
All of them. Yeah, it was a complete sellout, and you are part of, you know, what makes that the pageantry, the magnitude and every bit of it. And just want to let you know, as we let you go, we've got to jump to news, is that one of our own, right? As beloved, we feel when we see you, you're the world's guy doing that, but also that you're one of ours out there in the world just making it happen, and it's a big thing. So thank you, Jim, for everything. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
You bet. It's my pleasure, Dane, as always. You have a great day.
All right.